to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for February 4th, 2024, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
In your bulletins today, unless it fell out, you should find a bookmark I hope you will take home with you. It is a simple version of our church mission statement. And the reason for that is one of our new vestry members, when I was doing some orientation this week, said, "I've never seen this before. Is this the mission statement for the vestry or for the whole church?" And I thought, uh-oh, if we don't know our mission statement, how do we know what we're doing? And so I'm sharing with this with you this morning because I think it really connects to our scriptures as well. Our mission statement is kind of an evolution. Some years ago, this church discerned that feeding was central to our ministry. At that time, we were doing a lot of work with Bound Together in Pontiac. We were providing meals. I don't know, what was it, 3 days a week we were doing meals? Some of you remember and were part of that. But it was a huge effort. And so we even changed our website. If you ever wondered why we have this weird website, stpfeeds.org, St. Philip's Feeds, because that was our sense of identity. If you look at our stained glass window in the Great Hall that was donated, it is the symbol of St. Philip's, the loaves and fishes. Why? Because St. Philip, our patron saint, was present and instrumental in the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus took five loaves and two fish, blessed them, and multiplied them. And so feeding is a key part of our identity and mission. Well, a few years ago, we took that idea of feeding and we broadened it. We said, you know, St. Philip's feeds, yes, but we feed not just physically with meals, we also feed the mind through education and formation programs for children and for youth and for adults. You can read almost every week in the bulletin Father John's reflections, the fractals, which are another way to be fed spiritually and intellectually. We feed the soul through worship on Sunday mornings, our centering prayer group, Lenten programs and services, all kinds of different opportunities to be fed by God through the sacraments and through the word and our worship. We feed the heart through community, right? Through fellowship and by reaching out physically, feeding the body in our various outreach programs like Bound Together, Neighborhood House, and then even more concretely, giving blood through the Red Cross blood drives to literally save lives. So we see that as our core mission. And I wanted, after the annual meeting and as we thought about our mission together, let's remember this. Take this home and meditate on it. Everything we do here should relate in some way to this central mission. That's how organizations flourish, when they're clear about their mission and purpose, and when everything they do is grounded in that sense of identity, values, mission, and purpose. When new ideas bubble up, we need to ask, does this fit? Is this a way for us to be about God's work of feeding the world in body, mind, heart, or spirit? This is not just something that the church needs to be doing as a collective group, it is, but I think there's an invitation also for us to reflect on this individually. Each one of our scriptures in a different way tackles this idea of mission and purpose. Jesus in the gospel is still fairly early. He's become renowned for healings, right? He's casting out demons and he's healing people, and that gets a lot of attention. As soon as he starts doing that in our gospel today, the entire city, the whole town showed up at his front door and said, "Jesus, heal me, heal me, heal my mother-in-law, heal my friend," and he was swamped. And so Jesus did what he always does in the gospel. After he's been about God's work of performing miracles, he went away by himself to pray. And just like every time, he can't stay alone very long. He gets hunted down. The disciples hunted for him. Do you like that word? They hunted for him because they were getting all these demands from the people. Where's Jesus? Get him back here right now. There's more people to heal. But Jesus, in his prayers, by going away in seclusion and grounding himself in his relationship with God, his identity as God's son, Jesus has achieved clarity about his mission and purpose. And he says to them, no, I'm not going back there. The healings were not the point. The healings were to show God's power. But my mission is to share the message of God's salvation with everybody. And so we're not going back. We're moving on. We're going on to the next towns because that's my mission and purpose. I need to keep moving, keep sharing this message so that more people can come to know God's message of salvation. That was really important for Jesus. Otherwise, he could have stayed in Capernaum and been the local hero, right? He could have been the best healer in Capernaum. Jesus, the healer of Capernaum, is not quite the same as Jesus, the Savior of the world, is it? He knew that he had to leave off doing one good thing to focus on his core mission and purpose. In a similar way, St. Paul came to his own sense of mission and purpose. Now, St. Paul was a tougher nut to crack. St. Paul was actually going the entirely wrong direction when Jesus encountered him. Paul had decided that his mission and purpose was to stamp out this new Christian heresy, right? When his name was Saul, he knew that his job was to root out these heretics and crush this new movement. And he did a good job, right? He was there at the stoning of St. Stephen. He held the coats for those who threw the stones and killed the first martyr of the church. But then one day, on his way to Damascus, something amazing happened. He got knocked off his horse, he got struck blind, and Jesus himself, the resurrected Christ, said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And after that, his whole purpose and mission changed. From being a persecutor of the church, he became an apostle of the church, an apostle to the Gentiles. He was so crystal clear that God had put him on earth for this purpose, to share the good news of Jesus, particularly with those in the Roman Empire who had never heard about Jesus, many of whom had never even heard of Judaism. And so he said, "I will do whatever I can." Now, in our Bible study, we were talking that it's usually not a good idea to say, "I'm going to be all things to all people." You know, as clergy and seminary were taught, don't be all things to all people. You can't pull it off. But what Paul is saying here is, I will do whatever I can to connect with everybody, right? If you're a slave, I'll become like a slave. If you're freed, I'll become like a free person. If you're Jewish, I will connect with my Jewish heritage and share the gospel that way. If you're a Gentile, I'll use Greek philosophy. I will share Jesus' message with you however I can. That's what he was about. I will spend my life, he said, doing this. And he did. He endured shipwrecks and beatings, persecutions, and challenges of all kinds, including from the churches that he taught. We're reading through Corinthians this Epiphany season, and the Corinthians were a tough group. In fact, I think this letter, this part of the letter, is him responding to criticism, where someone has said to him, "Hey, Paul, who do you think you are telling us what to do? How do you get off telling us how to be Christians?" And Paul says, "Let me explain. This is my mission, and this is my purpose. I'm only about helping you to encounter Jesus and worship God in this new way." That mission and purpose gave him immense power to do God's work. And it's the same for you and me. When we are clear about our mission and purpose, whether it's as a whole congregation or as individuals, we unlock the power and abundant love of God. Something is released in us when we're so clearly focused. The problem is, it's hard to figure out, isn't it? We sometimes spend our whole lives wandering through different types of activities trying to figure out, what is my purpose? I remember someone telling me once, I have no mission, I have no purpose. And what they meant, I think, was they had been doing so many different things. They had been the flip side of I've been all things to all people, right? Because it's easy if you're a people pleaser to do what everybody else wants you to do, and you can actually lose your sense of self. Some years ago, I was having lunch with a parishioner who was being laid off. He'd been a disc jockey. He'd been a college disc jockey. Then he went to work for the local town radio station. They got bought out, and he was being laid off, and he was at that crisis moment in his life. What am I going to do with myself? There's no other radio station in town. I got to do something else. So we began to ask some key questions. What in your life gives you the most joy? What do you look forward to doing most in your life? Where are the moments where you felt most plugged in to your sense of God's presence in your life? And over the course of an hour-long lunch, he was able to articulate that in every part of his life, what he looked forward to more than anything was storytelling. He said, at my core, he said, I'm a storyteller. That's why I liked radio, because I could tell stories. But there's other ways to tell stories. He went on to become a youth minister in a church, and then later the youth missioner for that diocese in Western New York. After some changes, he went on and is now a teacher in a school and writes novels. He found new ways to live out his meaning and purpose, because that core mission and purpose can change over the course of our life. We're not always stuck in the same position. When you're in high school, your mission and purpose may be, let me get through this. Let me figure out what I'm going to do. Do I want to go to college? Do I want to go into a trade? What college do I pick? There's a million decisions that have to be made in high school, right? Then you get into early adulthood and you're like, okay, I'm going to work for a while. Does this job fit me? Maybe not. What about getting married? Should I get married or not? What about having kids? Should I have kids or not? Then, before you know it, the kids are grown and you're an empty nester, and then you go, wait, I thought my mission and purpose was raising children. Now what? Now what do I do? Or you go through a divorce. Who am I now that I'm single? Or you lose a spouse to death. Or you retire, right? I thought my mission and purpose was work. I put everything into work. And now what? That now what question can be an amazing opportunity to rekindle a sense of our core mission and purpose, because God has a purpose for us until the day we die. You can't tell me, oh, I'm too old for that. I outgrew mission and purpose. Forget it. No, you didn't. It's just changing. It's changing and evolving. And how do we find that? How do we re-find that when we had it and we lost it? It is by following the example of Jesus. Hopefully, we're not like Paul and we have to get knocked off our horse and struck blind. I would rather not do that myself. I'd like a gentler path. But what did Jesus do? He took time in silent prayer to ground himself in God. That's what the prophet Isaiah is helping his people to do. They had been through a cataclysm. They were lost. They had been conquered by the Assyrians. They didn't know who they were anymore. And he grounds them in their relationship with God. Let me remind you who your God is. The God who made heaven and earth. The God who has all power. Who is the only true God. That's who you worship. He will show you the path forward. In our prayer, whether it's centering prayer or some other kind of prayer, we can begin to hear that. We can also do it in community. This coming Tuesday, we're going to have a meeting with the ECW, which is all about how do we find our sense of mission and purpose. Later this spring, we're going to have meetings with the whole church to talk about St. Philip's. What is our mission and purpose? How do we live out this mission in new ways with new people for a new time? How are we going to evolve and cast a vision for what God is calling us to be and to do. To me, that's tremendously exciting work. It's exciting for me as an individual, and it's exciting for me to see it at work in our congregation. I hope you will pray for that process. Please pray for the ECW on Tuesday. Pray for our church as we engage in this visioning work. And take time in your busy, busy lives. Take time to ground yourself in your relationship with God and to ask some of those questions that my friend and I were discussing so many years ago. What gives you a sense of joy and meaning and life? Where do you experience God's presence in abundance in your life? And how might you organize your life around those key values and mission and purpose? And I promise you, only good things will happen.